Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. Jumping back into my startup draft now, back through basically about 20 rounds. Not going to break down every pick that I made. I went a lot of rookie picks. I'll just say it's like a general strategy, and I'll get into this a little bit with the quarterback discussion. But as a general strategy right now, I think we know very little about what's going to happen in 2021. Waiting on a lot of rookie picks, obviously, it's going to impact veterans. We're waiting on free agency. How does that impact players like Aaron Jones and, you know, all these free agents? But the trickle down of like A.J. Dillon and all of these guys, right? So you have those questions, I think, that are really looming large. Retirements as well. Whose job's going to get taken in free agency? Whose job's going to get taken in the draft, right? So I think the key to this is default to certainty, default to flexibility, and default to base rates, right? I mean, those things, I think, are really the three guiding things. So whenever you get a chance to take rookie picks when there's uncertainty, right? I've done a lot of that. Basically hit two or three a round was really the goal. So be ahead of pace there with lots of flexibility. So I have multiple later firsts, multiple like mid-seconds, early thirds, you know, in sort of just going in that vein, just to give myself a lot of flexibility, whether I need to address veterans or rookies or whatnot. I just have different bullets to fire at different values that I can use or take selections with in the draft. So those are really the things. I'll say, as from an early, and this will change, right? And this could change in a bunch of different ways. But when you look at, you know, when you look at the position of quarterback, for example, I really think that you need to have, you really need to understand what you're comfortable with and tolerating in terms of risk. And for me, I think I need to have a quarterback that I feel good about over the next couple of years, a quarterback two. Right, so whatever that means for the top, I think if you're not in the Mahomes discussion, right, for me, I think you really need to get to someone that you feel comfortable with at quarterback two in particular. Right, you need to be inside that line. And for me, like I sort of detailed this earlier, it went off pretty quick in terms of seven guys in the first round. And at that point, I knew I was going to try to bail out at a round two. I didn't want it to get ahead of me. So I just took Russell Wilson there and felt, you know, fine, lock it in, good to go, you know, moving along. And, you know, was able to bail out and do those things. But I really knew that I needed to get inside the number two line. Jared Goff was the number two line for me. It ended up being, I was really looking at like, all right, I have a level of comfort of basically Cousins, Stafford, Matt Ryan, and Goff. It was like the tier that I said I kind of need to hit that tier at least once. If I can do it twice, that's great. And again, in terms of flexibility, in terms of certainty, like those are good places to be right now. And then I can deal from there, right? I don't think any of them are going to hemorrhage value. I don't think there are retirement risks outside of the, you know, the, I have like a conspiracy theory going on about Stafford. But besides that, I think I feel pretty good about them as being quality plays over the next at least couple years, and then I can figure it out from there, right? I think Ryan's the closest to retirement, and then maybe Stafford, and then, you know, Cousins, right? Those are the guys that are sort of aging in there, and so, you know, that's certainly, you know, the arc of it, right? And Goff's the youngest on that group. You know, but maybe Goff's not the best. I'm not sure. You know what I mean? But you sort of have relative risks in there. I feel a relative degree of certainty in that range. And then after that, it felt like a pretty big tier break. So I really made a concerted effort to get inside that line. I was able to do it at Goff at quarterback 18. So I think that is really a line that I think is important to know where you're comfortable with. And maybe it's not one of those guys. Maybe you need to go earlier. For me, it was Derek Carr wasn't really in that group. So it ended up being the fifth round. So in other years, that's round six, round seven, round eight. This year it's round five. Okay, so that is a quicker pace. Now, again, this is a one sample size. We're gonna work on some data over here over the next. I gotta get the book finished, but then we'll get the startup draft pick, the startup draft tracker going with drafts and leagues going into that. But yeah, I mean, at this point, it looks like a heated up draft, and I'll say I think that's right in terms of I don't think this is an aberration. There's a lack of good feeling up at the draft, I guess is the easiest thing to say, with like you have McCaffrey, you got Barkley up there, no wide receivers in the first round. And I think you have a combination of you got some older elite wide receivers, you got some guys that haven't fully gotten all the way there yet. They're in sort of their early-ish 20s. Maybe you could make a push for that they should have been higher. But you had running backs up there. You basically had six running backs in the first couple of rounds. You had four tight ends. Again, this is tight end premium. Then you had 13. You had 11 quarterbacks, a couple of rookie picks, right? So it was really the last pick of the second round was where wide receivers went. And then there was more than half of the round. The third round was wide receivers. But yeah, it seems to be an early quarterback pace. I'll just say, like, Herbert at three was in this class. He can't be any more than seven to me. Like, I think you could balance him. Lamar Jackson, I guess we could have a conversation. Rodgers, I guess, Burrow sort of in that range too. But who I couldn't put him ahead of are Mahomes, Watson, Prescott, Allen, Murray, Wilson, right? Can't really put him ahead of those guys, right? So that would be the next tier. And, you could debate in there. I'm not going to nitpick. But, yeah, I wouldn't have him as high as he went. So that would just be, my sort of initial salvo of thoughts on that. But they are going higher. Jalen Hurts, quarterback 15, that's just a clear void. It's just absolutely a clear void because we don't have any sort of certainty on if that's actually going to be a thing. So just that's absolutely a clear void there for me. So you are getting some situations, I'll just say every year I sort of look at guys, hey, give me guys that are top six guys, give me multiple of them would be nice in terms of, guys that have multiple hits inside that, but I'll take one, guys that don't have that, that are going over guys that do, right? Tua, Hurts, Mayfield, Burrow's up there as well. Then you get sort of the less sexy guys, right? In terms of Cousins, Goff, Stafford, Carr's in that, but not really the elite status, Ryan as well. So that's one thing I would say in terms of all of that, right? Is sort of be selective on what you're going to take, but make sure you're inside your line, right? So again, in a different world, maybe Tua and Hurts slide, I doubt that's going to happen, right? I feel pretty confident to say if you sit at quarterback 18, you'll get a guy you feel comfortable with. Outside that line, not sure at quarterback two. So that would just be the thought that's in the fifth round. So if you're looking to make trades, maybe that's a little bit later. Ryan went a couple rounds after that. I wouldn't want to tempt that, right? I wouldn't want to wait a couple rounds after those other guys went off. I'd come up and collect that if I was trying to do that. So that would just be the thought there. But Ryan did fall a couple rounds off those guys, so that's just notable. After that, I just do a quick rundown here. Wentz was at 20, which is pretty high. Jones is at 21, Winston 22, Darnold 23, Bridgewater 24, Locke 25, Jimmy G 26. I think this sort of is emblematic of what I'm saying. None of these guys are sure things for 2021, right? I think Wentz is probably going to start. I don't know where. But I think he's going to start. Jones, there's a risk. Winston, who knows? Darnold, who knows? Bridgewater, if I had like gun to my head, he probably starts, but they're in a range that they could draft the quarterback of the future. And what do they really have in Bridgewater? Is he going to be a guy that, takes them as they're sort of building this thing out, by the end of Matt Rule's long contract, 6 years, Is he really going to be the guy that's going to be leading them to like an NFC championship? I don't think so. So that would indicate to me, I mean, if you don't have that guy, you need to get that guy, right? Some way, shape, or form, whether it's a draft or in free agency. But if you don't have that guy, it's kind of the AFC, it's the Mahomes rule. Like, you have to have a guy. If you're legit about contending, you need to have someone that you can answer, yes, I feel confident that they can hang with Mahomes on the road, right? And it's not necessarily they need to be a favorite, right? But that they can hang, right? That they give you a shot to beat them. Yeah, a good Mahomes game that in their range of outcomes that you can play with that. And if you don't have that answer, right, what are you doing? And it's a little bit different in the NFC. You don't really have that same elite strata, I guess I would say. You have guys there, but they're aging, right? So you could say, hey, we could take a shot after Rodgers or whatnot. But do you have someone that can win you an NFC championship game? If not, what are you doing? And do they have that with Bridgewater? I'm not sure. So answering all of these questions, I'm much more in a, hey, maybe it's a 2021 play, right? Maybe it's maybe he's there in 2022, but I don't feel any comfort with that. So I think I did this exercise early in the offseason, guys I felt comfortable with for like 2022 starters. It's like 15 or 16 guys, right? That's kind of where we're at of the position. So Bridgewater at 24, Lock at 25, Garoppolo at 26, Taysom Hill at 27. Again, all of these guys, it's the exact same question. Jordan Love at 28. That's a different question. Ben Roethlisberger, is he going to retire? That's at 29. Trubisky's at 30. What do we have there? Heineke's at 31. Cam, 32. Mariota, 33. Rivers, I actually took Rivers at 34 because I said at least if he plays, I think I can get top 18 production. Fitz at 35. Dalton at 36. In hindsight, maybe I should have gone Dalton over Rivers. I'm sort of kicking myself on that one. Haskins at 37. Jacob Eason at 38. Right, so that's a pretty big chasm in terms of, hey, feel good about 2021. Hey, I feel good about 2022. To, hey, I don't feel good about tomorrow with some of these guys, right? So that's really, I think the line there is you got to get inside the Ryan line at quarterback two. And then, I do think taking, I was kind of hoping Wentz fell. And sort of my strategy was going to be, let's go Wentz Winston. If I can go sort of in the 9 to 12 range and hit them both, right? That's pretty interesting. I was able to get Winston, couldn't get Wentz. And then I followed it back up. So Breeze hasn't been taken yet. I mean, I think people, it's a foregone conclusion that he's going to retire. It's at round, just where we're at now, it's at round 21. So honestly, if he gets back to me, it's like, do I kind of have to take that shot? Because what am I, we're at tight end 36, at running back 62, wide receiver 76, rookie pick 401, at that point, it's kind of like, at least I know I can cut him, right? It's a roster spot. But it's a high variance, to some degree, a high variance play. Maybe the ceiling's not all the way there. But I think he's worth more than 401 if he plays next year, right? So that's kind of the range in which the bet that I'm taking would be. So I will probably take him here if he falls to me. So that's really the thing. I would note, like, the Taysom Hill stuff, it's interesting that he is up at 27 ahead of some of these other guys. I think Ben's got some concerns about retirement. What's Trubisky? All these things. Taysom Hill, in the format, and this is a safe leagues format, so it's 6-point passing touchdown, 4-point interception. Between weeks 11 through 14, when Breeze was out, quarterback 8. So, and I looked at some of the stats, too. I know that some of the national narrative was he's bad. Like, I'm not sure we could say that. I'm not sure I could say that he's good, but I think it's a more of a question. Again, is he sort of that in a passing sense? Is he quarterback 8 in terms of passing? No. But in terms of fantasy, is he competent? Right? Is he competent as a passer? I think we can certainly say maybe. And can he add something in the running game? Yes. right? So that kind of adds up to quarterback eight, right? That's kind of when you sort of put those things together, almost in a Tebow sense, right? And I think he's a better passer than Tebow ever could have dreamt of being. Maybe not necessarily the rusher, but when you sort of look at those guys, it's kind of the calculus that you're looking for. So I would say with him, I actually think the price is palatable, especially considering the guys that are around him. I mean, you're probably going to wait another 12 months, 24 months on Jordan Love. You know, I think we're going to have a good idea on Hill, and Hill's got much more variance. Jordan Love really projects to be a guy that kind of falls in value historically, in some of the data that I've looked at, that as he sort of sits on the bench more, that price is going to fall. So we'll see with all that, but I would just say that's kind of the thing. So Mariota, Fitzpatrick are interesting. Dalton are interesting. I think taking guys that, you know, as I sort of look down the line in terms of some of the positional stuff at quarterback, I'm kind of in a quarterback groove in terms of thinking about these guys. But when you sort of look at it and you think, hey, you know, there's potential retirements here, right? I think Rivers is going to play. I just have a feeling with Rivers that he's going to play. I think there's a potential with Roethlisberger that he doesn't. So that's, you know, that is a different, that's a little bit different of a story there. Certainly, but then you sort of look at some of these guys. I'm just counting off, you know, hey, what are potential changes in jobs? Alex Smith in Washington for sure. San Francisco maybe. You know, we'll see. And I think a question that we'll see at the end of this is, I'll talk about in a second. So San Francisco's one, Pittsburgh's, so that's three. You know, Philadelphia is four. That's a question mark. The Jets is five. The Giants is six. The Saints are seven. Patriots are eight in terms of question mark guys. You know, just keep going up here. Jacksonville's nine. I think we know what their answer is going to be. Indianapolis is maybe 10 in terms of what Rivers does. You know, Drew Lock in Denver is 11. You know, Chicago's 12 there with Trubisky. Bridgewater's 13, right? So you keep going up there. I mean, maybe Matt Ryan's a candidate. You know, so say 12, you know, I don't know, say somewhere between 12 and 15 of these jobs are potentially open. There's not, if there's maybe five or six guys in the draft, yeah, maybe some of them recycle. But I think we're probably going to have an open seat or two, right? In terms of some of the, is someone really going to bring Trubisky in as a starter? Someone going to bring Cam in as a starter, right? So I do think thinking about these in terms of, you know, what are options that are out there on the open market, you know, as backups, you know, is Chase Daniel a guy that could potentially be a week one starter for Detroit if Stafford's traded, right? Is Case Keenum a guy that could land a job? You know, is those would be a couple of them. You know, Chad Henne, probably not. Tyrod Taylor, that's probably not going to happen. But Mariota, Fitzpatrick, right? Stidham, probably not. Is Flacco? Probably not, although he showed okay this year. You know, just looking down, is someone recycle Mullins? You know, just looking at some of these things, that's why the thought that Washington moves on from Alex Smith, I don't think is a foregone conclusion. So all of that said, it looks to me like there's probably going to be open seats on in 2021 that don't look great, especially if you get three or four retirements of that older group. You know, the Breeze, you know, I don't think Brady's going to retire, but Breeze, Rivers, Roethlisberger, you know, if all three of those retired, that's going to create some significant uncertainty at the position. Whereas if two of them stayed, I think those are some more answers there. So I just say with that, you know, to be open to ideas here in terms of backfilling your bench at quarterback, I think that's certainly a thing to look at. Okay, so let's run down some of the other stuff here in terms of some of the running back stuff. Derrick Henry fell pretty far. He fell to the fourth round. And he fell, he fell to, he was actually running back 16, which is pretty late. I went with Zeke ahead of him. you know, had he fallen another couple of spots to me at the end of that, the next, you know, in that fifth round, I was sort of in that range. I could have taken him. You know, that would have been an interesting thing to look at. I went Michael Thomas, Zeke. Zeke was running back 12. So that's a notable one there. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is running back 11. That is ahead of Antonio Gibson, ahead of James Robinson, who's actually at running back 17. Mixon was at running back 14, so that's a notable one. I actually have Mixon in a league where that other person, you know, the person that drafted him, actually I could potentially look to trade, so make a note of that for sure. Dobbins is at 7, so Akers is at 8, Dobbins is at 7, Taylor is at 3, Swift is at 5. So again, looking, one of the things I've really found from my rookie draft stuff is we don't really predict the ordering that well of like value and stuff year over year. And this is a classic example of that. Edwards-Helaire was 1, he's now 5, right? So some of these things are pretty, you know, when we say, hey, we need to insulate value and those sorts of things, right? You're doing it sort of broadly speaking, yes, but getting specific ordering and stuff. Edwards-Helaire had a decent year for a rookie, and it just, the expectations got so out of control. So that's a notable one. AJ Dillon at 21, Montgomery at 20. So again, if you're looking at like arbitrage opportunities, I think Taylor to Edwards-Helaire, you know, Dobbins to Edwards-Helaire is interesting. Dobbins to Montgomery plus, you know, there's a significant plus there. I think if that's a first round though, I think that's interesting. I mean, Taylor to Jacobs at a first, I don't know if that's possible, but that's absolutely something I think to explore. You know, so those would be things I would definitely look to monitor in terms of arbitrage opportunities. So one thing that came up on the Football Guy show this week was Calvin Ridley versus Terry McLaurin. You know, and it was basically those two guys, and the other part of the trade was like a mid first and Cam Akers. And I forget what was won, but I said, you know, McLaurin and Ridley are roughly the same. You know, I probably think higher of Ridley than wide receiver 10 would be my thought. You know, I'd have him ahead of CeeDee Lamb, for example. You know, so maybe not that much higher, but I feel confident that he's a top 10 guy. McLaurin's at 15, you know, just the guys going ahead of him. Higgins, DJ Moore, Chris Godwin's in there. So that's really the gap between those two. That is a gap of, it's about 14 spots in the draft. So I don't think the difference is all that much, right? And I think they kind of profile similarly, right? So so that's interesting in terms of those guys there. Not that much of a market difference, right? Fourth to sixth round, but it's late fourth to the first pick of the sixth. So that sixth round's pretty interesting with Cooper, Allen Robinson, you know, McLaurin, like I said, Keenan Allen, Kenny Galladay, DJ Shark, Brandon Ayuk, Deontay Johnson, wide receiver 16. So Mike Evans, I was trying to move back up. There were so many target guys. I'll just say, if you want to get in the, yeah, if you really want to trade back and get into that round 5, 6, 7 range, it's just pretty lucrative. Mike Evans all the way to 7th, wide receiver 24. Juju Smith-Schuster, wide receiver 23. That's pretty interesting there as well. Again, Evans after Kenny Galladay just seems like malpractice. That's just wrong. I just, there's not many things that I think are absolutely wrong. That one is absolutely wrong to me, especially with all the uncertainty about Galladay coming off the injury, all that stuff. So, I mean, Marquise Brown at 25. That's right after Mike Evans. I mean, I just can't get on board with that difference. Chenault's at 26. Odell Beckham Jr. notably at 33. Rager at 31. Those are in the ninth round, those guys there. I actually took Julio in the ninth round as well at wide receiver 34. Again, you just can't, I can't let that go. There becomes a point where it's like, okay, you just have to step up and do this. And him and Thielen was at 37, right? That was a similar conversation. And I basically decided, hey, I'm going to take one of them and I'll take, Jameis Winston coming back. And that's kind of what I took Julio and Jameis Winston. So, yeah, so that's the thing there. Just a couple of notes on the running backs. So Kenyon Drake's at 24, Kareem Hunt's at 23. That's Kareem Hunt's in the eighth round. Drake's in the ninth round there. Ronald Jones. This level is really interesting. And again, as we look and sort of see more drafts, get a better idea if this is representative or an outlier. But I mean, how about hammering the 10th round? I mean, Ronald Jones, Damian Harris, Devin Singletary, Melvin Gordon. I mean, that's some pretty good options there at running back in terms of running backs 25 through 28. Depending different varieties there in terms of workload, age, you know, profiles. But there's some value there. I think it falls off a little bit after that. Miles Gaskin's at 29, right? So that's a notable one if you're trying to really get, you know, go like a cheaper running back route, maybe hit someone that kind of projects to be a potential 2021 starter. But a little bit later, right, that ninth, 10th round really looks like a spot to potentially grab one of those lower end guys. And then you get sort of into the one injury away guys in the 13th round. Again, this is the later second in terms of rookie draft picks. So, that 13th round is really like 210, 211, 212 is in that range. Adam Trautman went at tight end 20. Cole Kmet, I actually took at tight end 16. Hayden Hurst at tight end 18. I was looking into some of his metrics. I was pretty tepid on some of his metrics. I actually took Cole Kmet ahead of Zach Ertz. That might have been wrong, but I just thought, hey, Kmet, I don't think Kmet's going to fall like a rock, and I think that this probably is a floor for him over the next 6 to 12 months, right? In terms of certainly the next 6 months, he's not going to go any later than tight end 16. And Ertz, we don't know, right? Ertz, I think, is probably going to be cut. Where does he end up? All of those things. You have a bunch of questions there. I think at least for the near term, Kmet has a little bit more stability in terms of he's not going to fall through the floor. So, again, I don't care a ton about value, but I want to have flexibility at this point too, in terms of declaring stuff. If I'm going into the season, I have a little bit more certainty, all of those things, I can sort of deal with that. But I kind of know what Kmet's career arc looks like at this point. It's a lot more uncertainty with Ertz. So that's the decision there. Gerald Everett, tight end 26. I really like that value. I took him there. That's actually behind Higbee, who would have been a target had he gotten back to me. A few picks later, I took Everett. He's going to be a free agent. I think there's a potential boom in value. That's 15th round. So Dalton Schultz is in there. Blake Jarwin's in that range as well. So Gronkowski fell actually to the 18th round. That's tight end 31. So if he gets there, I think that's an appropriate valuation. Appropriate time to target him. And that's really the thing. AJ Green fell to wide receiver 68, just as a note there. I'm not going to go through every one of these guys, obviously. But you get Christian Kirk, wide receiver 58. Again, guys that could potentially see an uptick in value. Fitzgerald retires. He could be a positive narrative guy over the summer. So I like that. Kerryon Johnson, wide receiver, running back 56 in the 20th round. Latavius Murray 54 in the 19th, right? So you're really looking. That seems like a good area to actually pound on some pedigree guys. Darrington Evans actually went at 58. That's the 21st round. Sony Michel at 57. That's, again, the 20th round there. So there are some, I'll say, like, I think in terms of historical stuff, if you're compared to prior drafts, I think you're getting some of the one injury away running backs, especially some of the guys with pedigree and some commitment in terms of their contract stuff. You're getting them a little bit later, right? Tariq Cohen in that range as well, running back 53, 19th round. So when you look at some of these guys, there is some interest there. I would say that's a notable outlier in terms of historically, you don't typically get those guys that late. Again, you're aging and not hitting, so you're falling off rounds. One of the things I found is like a general rule, once you get in your mid-20s, if you miss the prior year, the average drop you see is about 4 rounds. So we're kind of seeing that with some of these guys, right? Just ballparking it. Obviously different profiles have different ranges, but just sort of like an average. I have a chart in the book about it. That's kind of what you see. You basically see like a 4 to 5 round tax on, I'd consider a 4 to 5 round value tax on missing. So that's a thing there to note. So I figure this is a good way. You know, I like to get in early just to get an idea of where the market might stand. So again, I think you got to be inside the quarterback in the first 5 rounds. I think you need to be attuned to quarterback value drying up quicker than expected. Running backs falling later than expected in terms of some of these one injury away guys. That's pretty nice. And then I'd be very careful on taking veterans that are on the potential retirement track. But when you get into the 20th round, I mean, that's 10% hit range. I mean, a 10% viability range, you're looking at, you know, maybe a multiple couple of starts there in terms of what you're actually expecting. So if you get a guy like Breeze, if you get a variance play like Breeze or someone like that, you know, Fitzpatrick, Dalton, right? Those guys that actually have the ability to outkick that valuation. So those are definitely things to look for down the line there. And again, if you cut them, you cut them. You know, it's not the end of the world, especially at that depth. You're gonna have rookie picks and, you know, all sorts of things, right? So, you know, you're kind of looking for things to see an uptick in value above that pick, looking for some variance there. That's fine. Whiffing on your 20th, 21st round pick, not a big deal. Hitting on it for starter viability, really big deal. So that's kind of what you're looking to do there. Again, running backs, quarterbacks are good ways to do it there. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.